You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Wednesday, July 9th. The Oregon Department of Transportation says it will lay off roughly 10% of its employees at the end of July. As Dirk Vanderhart reports, the announcement comes after state lawmakers failed to agree on a major road funding bill this year.
ODOT informed 483 employees on Monday they would no longer have jobs as of July 31st. The agency says it has a budget gap of more than $350 million. It plans to slash road maintenance services, delay construction projects, reduce snow plowing and litter cleanup, and a lot more. The question is whether state leaders can avert those outcomes. Governor Tina Kotek has suggested repeatedly in the last week she will call lawmakers into special session to avoid service cuts at ODOT. But it's not clear when a session could occur or what Kotek's solution might be. Legislative Democrats made transportation funding a key priority of the six-month session that adjourned June 27th, but the majority party couldn't find enough support to pass even a stopgap bill, and lawmakers went home without putting any new money toward roads. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
News of the cuts have lawmakers on Oregon's North Coast concerned. At an Astoria City Council meeting this week, city councilors talked about reaching out to the state about the possible local impacts of the ODOT layoffs. ODOT has a regional office based in Astoria. Astoria City Manager Scott Spence said it's hard to speculate on the ramifications of the layoffs, but he's certain it will impact road maintenance and response in Astoria. He anticipates things could get especially tough in the winter months when the North Coast relies on ODOT workers and equipment for snow and ice removal on major roadways. City Councilor Elizabeth Adams suggested reaching out to State Senator Suzanne Weber, who serves on the Joint Transportation Committee. Thousands of U.S. Forest Service employees have been laid off or left their jobs since the Trump administration's efforts to shrink the federal workforce. NWPB's Lauren Patterson reports on how fewer staff are dealing with strained resources amid the busy summer tourist season.
The Lolo Pass Visitor Center straddles the border of northern Idaho and western Montana. Each year, the center has seen more people during summer tourist season as numbers rebound after the pandemic. That's according to Sasha Wells, an interpretive ranger with the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest. Wells was fired in February, along with thousands of other U.S. Forest Service employees. But she was rehired in March as part of a legal action against the USDA, the agency that oversees the Forest Service. However, Wells says that many former employees decided not to come back.
Last year, we had six people to do like all the bathrooms and take care of all the reservations and all that stuff. And this year, we have one.
With such a thin staff, Wells says the few people left have had to help clean bathrooms and take reservations for the Lolo National Forest's 20 campgrounds. I'm Lauren Patterson, reporting.
It's official. The federal government has withdrawn plans to recover imperiled salmon and steelhead in the Columbia River Basin. NWPB's senior environmental correspondent Courtney Flatt explains.
In 2023, the Biden administration put decades of court battles on hold and asked for more ways to save iconic salmon runs. That included looking at how to remove the lower Snake River dams and supplement the energy, transportation, and irrigation infrastructure from the four dams. Now, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Bureau of Reclamation have withdrawn those plans. They posted an official notice in the Federal Register. Biologists say the lower Snake River dams are a reason some salmon are careening toward extinction. Tribes and salmon advocates say backing out of this plan will make it harder to find a compromise. But some dam advocates wanted in on talks that happened between the groups involved in court battles. Now those groups say more people could be included in future discussions. I'm Courtney Flatt.
Small hospitals in Washington state are facing a difficult economic future. As OPB's Eric Newman reports, their finances will likely become worse because of the federal budget bill passed by Congress last week.
On Washington state's southwest coast, the critical access hospital Ocean Beach Health is facing serious threats from Medicaid cuts. Last year, their profit was just $8,000. Marianne Keene is the hospital's CEO.
There are hospitals across the state that are on the verge of closure. We are not, but we are not doing well, right? When somebody says I made $8,000 last year, you know, it doesn't look good.
About 24 small hospitals across Washington received distressed hospital grants from the state this year. To qualify, they have to serve Medicaid patients and be experiencing significant financial problems. The new federal cuts will mean fewer insured patients and more financial blows. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
One of Oregon's biggest employers is permanently cutting more than 500 positions. Global chipmaker Intel notified state officials about the layoffs on Tuesday. Kyra Buckley reports.
529 engineers, technicians, managers, and other workers are being laid off, mainly at Intel's campus in Hillsboro. The semiconductor company overall employs around 20,000 Oregonians. Intel spent decades as a leader in computer chip manufacturing, but fell behind in the race to serve the growing artificial intelligence industry. That's partly why last year, the company cut 1,300 workers in Oregon and reported nearly $19 billion in losses. A spokesperson says the current round of layoffs is meant to help the company become more efficient. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
After years of planning, the Long Beach Boardwalk reconstruction project is now officially underway. Last week, Long Beach city officials finalized a contract with Woodridge Construction out of Snohomish County for the project. The renovation will see the replacement of all of the 35-year-old structure's decking, as well as most of the railings and lighting. The boardwalk will also be raised in some areas, and a stainless steel water fountain will be installed at the south platform. Back in 2022, the city of Long Beach was awarded a $2.5 million federal grant for the project, which came via the American Rescue Plan Act. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. As of July 1st, at Oregon State Parks, electric assist bicycles, also called e-bikes, are now allowed on trails where other bicycles are allowed. The Oregon Parks and Recreation Department says e-bikes are now also allowed on the ocean shore on wet sand, except where specifically restricted. Signs will be posted on certain trails and areas where e-bikes are not allowed. E-bikes are always not allowed on the dry sand along the ocean shore, including dunes and everything above the natural high tide line. There are full e-bike restrictions in areas of snowy plover habitat during nesting season, which lasts through September 15th. For more information, including a list of trails where e-bikes are prohibited, go online at stateparks.oregon.gov. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org.